Well, for the last several weeks, we've been answering questions that I think folks are asking. Today, we're going to talk about spiritual maturity. The Bible calls it discipleship. It's mentioned in the Great Commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize believers, and teach them to do all the things that I have taught you. Disciple meant. One of the words we use today is mentor. You hear that a lot, and a lot of the fresh books that are out on the shelves encourage us to be accountable to one another and to mentor or disciple one another. So how do you know if you are spiritually mature? It's not a matter of age. You can be 40, 50, 60, or 70 and in the church for years and years and years and still not be spiritually mature. Just growing old doesn't mean you're growing up in the Lord. It's not about appearance. Some people just look spiritual. They wear the right clothes, they walk the right way, they say the right things, and because of that, we say they talk the talk. They just look spiritual. But it's not how you look. It's not about appearance. It's not talking the talk. It's walking the walk. It's not about achievements. Well, Pastor, I've been in the church all my life, and I've done this and that and the other, and as a result of that, I surely must be a spiritual person. Absolutely not. You work if you are spiritually mature, but your works do not make you spiritually mature. So what does real maturity look like? What does the Word of God say about spiritual maturity? I want to use the book of James for a few moments as a backdrop. And if you want to turn there and stay there, I'll be looking at a verse or two out of each of the five chapters. It won't take us long, but keep your Bibles open. The first thing I want to talk about is this. If you're spiritually mature, it will have to do with how you respond to the troubles and the trials and the pressures of life. Look at James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be, and that word perfect can be complete or mature, lacking in nothing. If you want to grow and become spiritually mature, one of the signs, one of the marks that will show that you are is how you respond to the circumstances of life. How you respond to a crisis or a problem or a trial or a trouble. Some people fall apart. Some people fall on their knees. Some people throw in the towel. Some people look up to the Lord. Some people cry, it can't be done. Others cry out, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. When trouble comes your way, how you meet it will determine how mature you are in the things of God. Sometimes we blame God and turn away. We ought to praise God and turn every eye upon Him who's the author and the finisher of our faith. The second thing that James says is how you treat people. Look at chapter 2 and verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. Spiritual maturity can be measured in your life and mine by how we treat people. I want to tell you something. You need to treat the waitress just like you do the boss. If you don't treat the people who can't do anything for you just as well as you treat the people that can do much for you, you're inconsistent in your life. You are to love your neighbor just like you love yourself. Regardless of the color of skin, the condition of life, the position in life, where they came from or where they're going, you're to love others. If you just want a real word that will signify your spiritual maturity, the word's kindness. Are you kind to folks? Folks that can't help you, Are you still kind to them? Folks that can help you, you ought to be kind to them. Immaturity says, I want my way. I want my will. I want my desire. Maturity says, maybe your way's better. Maybe I can compromise and together we can accomplish much. Maybe I ought to consider you to be equal with me and love you just like I love myself. You see, spiritual maturity is really practical. It's just how you treat yourself and how you treat others and how you treat God. Chapter 3 and verse 2, you'll love this one. The spiritual mature master their mouths. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Isn't it difficult to watch what you say? Isn't it difficult to hold your tongue when you believe you have something pertinent to the conversation? How many of you know it's difficult not to get the last word in? You see, that's human nature. That's what the flesh wants to do. We like to say what we think. The problem is we don't always think what we should say. And so if we're going to be spiritually mature, we're going to have to master our mouths. Now, some of you will remember this, and others, let me just remind you of what it is. Right after World War II, there was a saying, loose lips sink ships. It had to do with the fact that if you gave away the secret to the enemy, he would use that information against you. So loose lips sink ships. Can I just rephrase that? Loose lips destroy lives. Gossip, hearsay, running someone down so that you will look like you're lifted up, having to have the last word, speaking in anger and bitterness and with resentment, being involved in a conflict, trying to win every argument. What is it if you win the argument and lose a friend? Maybe this illustration is the best way to prove this thought. She came to her pastor and said, Pastor, I said something about another woman in our church, and I've since found that it was not true, and I want to know how to take it back and fix it. He said, do you own a feather pillow? Why, yes, I do. He said, cut the end out of it. Take it to the tallest building in town. And on the windiest of days, shake out all the feathers and let them fly where they will. Wait a few days and then go and find and gather up all those feathers and repack your pillow. She said, it can't be done. And he said, exactly. Words that we speak that break hearts, that offend, that ruin lives, can scarcely all be gathered up again. So one of the marks of the spiritually mature is just to learn how to shut up sometimes, to learn to keep silent when what we say can hurt our brothers or our sisters. It's awfully quiet in here, wouldn't you say? Well, a fourth thought is found in James 4, chapter 1. What causes quarrels and fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? The question is, are you a peacemaker or are you a troublemaker? James says the reason that we feud and fight and fuss with others is because our fleshly passions have not been settled. We are at war. We are at conflict within ourselves. And therefore, we come out. What's in the well eventually comes out when the bucket draws it up. And what's in you eventually comes out. And if you're at war and inside of you there is stress and strain and the passion of your flesh is having its own way, you'll be a drama queen or king. You'll always find difficulty. You'll find a reason to debate. You'll find a reason to quarrel. You'll find a reason to get your feelings hurt. You'll find a reason to be upset. You'll find a reason to be angry because somehow it didn't work out like you meant for it to. And you become a troublemaker. And God said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So if you really want to be spiritually mature, you stop the argument. You put a stop to the gossip. You don't listen to the filthy story. You come to the place in your life where you enter the room peacefully and you leave the room in peace when you walk away. Spiritual maturity is just being Christ-like in every set of circumstances. There are two more in case you're counting. James chapter 5 and verse 7. "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains." Listen very closely to this little phrase. There are no overnight crops. You don't plant today and harvest tomorrow. There must be a time of waiting. The seed is planted. The sun must shine. The wind must blow. The rain must fall. Night and day must come and go. And time must pass before the seed comes up, blossoms, blooms, and is ready for the harvest. But Americans have come to believe in instant everything. We've got fast food restaurants. Our coffee can be instant if we want it to be. Our ATM machines give us money when we put our card in. Almost everything we do, we have found a faster way. Notice I did not say better way. We have found a faster way to do it. Nobody likes the waiting room. We want to be next. Everybody else can wait, but we deserve to be the next one. Nobody likes to wait, and we have very little patience. So we have a new phrase. When we drive, road rage, it's just a lack of patience with those who drive around you. We've come to the place where we're in such a hurry, but the problem is we don't know where we're going. We're going to get there rather quickly, but we're not sure where it is. Listen to what the scriptures say. Wait upon the Lord, and He will renew your strength. No wonder we're tired. We're exhausted. We're weary. No wonder Sunday morning we wake up and it's hard to get here. We've hurried all week long. And there comes a time when God just says, slow down. Vance Havner used to say, come apart before you come apart. Wait on the Lord. And one final, James 5, 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Because the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. If you want to measure your spiritual maturity, ask yourself, how long do I spend each day in the presence of my Lord. Could I say that again? If you want to measure your spiritual maturity, ask yourself this question: how long do I spend each day in the presence of my Lord? Do I have a consistent time of Bible study and prayer? Am I fervent and passionate when I pray? Do I pray when I want something? Do I pray when I need something? Or do I pray because I love to come into His presence and simply spend time with Him? No parent in this room would enjoy only being approached by your child when they want to ask you for something. We talk about family time, times when we are together just because it's good to be together, times when we're together because there's nowhere else we would rather be and no one else that we would rather be with than family. And our God deserves that. There needs to be a time every day when there is nowhere else that you would rather be and no one else that you'd rather be with than your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if that is not the case, you may be old, but you are not mature. You may have been here a while, but you have not grown in grace. You may have achieved a good deal, but you are still on milk and not the meat of the Word of God. When I was a child, my mother got to backing me up to a wall in my room and marking the place where I had grown to. Those marks never did get as high as I wish they had. But each year she would mark off a half or an inch and a half or so, measuring my growth. Back up to the Word of God this morning. Stand tall and let's measure your maturity. How do you respond when a crisis comes to your life? Do you fall apart or do you look up? Do you react harshly or do you respond knowing that God is able? How do you treat other folks? Are you kind to some and quick-tempered to others? Do you find it easier to put people down than you do to lift them up? Back up to the Word. Let's see how mature you are. How about your mouth? Are you quick to gossip? Have you hurt people by what you've had to say? Could you gather them all up and lay them on the altar this morning? Or have they been lost in the wind like the feather pillow? What about, are you a peacemaker or a troublemaker? Do you solve the problem or do you cause the problem? Have you learned to be patient? You know how to wait on the Lord. You know how to let God show up and show out. Don't you know He's never early, but He's surely never late. He's a right-on-time God. And if you really want to back up to the Bible and measure your maturity, how long do you spend each day in the presence of your Lord? What about your prayer life, your Bible study, your personal witness and worship? Let's stand. There are going to be pastors who will come to the altar. As always, we begin right here. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you're in the balcony or on the main floor, there'll be a pastor here, and he'll want to pray with you, and he'll want to talk with you, and he'll want to share with you how you can come to know Jesus Christ. If your membership is elsewhere, and as you worship with us, you feel the presence of the Lord, maybe God is saying to you this morning, you come and you become a part of Central Church. The pastors will help you to know how to do that. But maybe as we've measured ourselves today, you have found an inadequacy, a place where there's a missing part, a missing piece. Pastor, I go to pieces when things happen. Pastor, I don't treat people, not everybody, as kindly as I should. Pastor, I have trouble with my mouth, with what I say. I'm not patient. I'm not as prayerful as I ought to be. The Spirit of God will speak, and you'll know immediately where the missing part is. Maybe you want to come and kneel on the altar and pray. Maybe you want to come and have one of the pastors pray with you. Pastors, if you'll come quickly. Daryl's going to lead us in this congregational hymn. The Spirit of God is speaking. The Spirit of God is moving. And if you want to grow, there's only one way, and that is surrendering all to Him.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.